Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. So somebody sent me another clip of a guy preaching about yours truly. It's about 3 minutes long. So let's go ahead and listen to this together.
Until the fullness of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So people who say God is finished with Israel, there's a group of people who preach the gospel on the internet. And lots of people have been saved through them. They call themselves the new Independent Fundamental Baptist, the new IFB, they brand themselves, and they say lots of things for views on YouTube. And one of the things they say is that God is finished with Israel. All the people who live in the country of Israel are not Jewish. They're imposters.
So notice what he says here. They say a lot of things for views on YouTube. No, it's just that we preach a lot of biblical truth that people are interested in listening to, so we get a lot of views on YouTube. We didn't do it for the views, okay? We preach the Word of God because it's the truth. It's what the Bible says. And what's so hilarious is that they actually accuse us of teaching these things to get views on YouTube, when in reality, teaching the truth about the Jews gets you banned from YouTube. It gets you less views on YouTube because you have the YouTube algorithm working against you. If you actually preach things that were pro-Jewish and pro-Israel and pro-Zionist, you're going to get way more views and the algorithm's going to work for you. And what are the big popular TV preachers preaching? They're preaching Zionism, whether it's John Hagee, Joel Osteen, you name it, they're all pro-Israel. So that's what people want to hear. That's the mainstream popular view. So if someone were just trying to get views on YouTube, that's what they would preach. The reason that they accuse me of doing it for the views is that they're just envious of the fact that people are actually listening to my preaching and my friends preaching and people that are actually preaching stuff that is interesting to people and that people are learning from. And that's why it's getting views. It's getting views in spite of the fact that we're preaching hard things that are not popular. And then they try to make it out that we're preaching these hard things in order to get more views. That's actually the opposite of the truth. It's pretty easy to shoot down that silly argument. But let's get to the meat of what he's saying here. He's quoting this verse about blindness in part happening to the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And he says, see, you know, God's not finished with Israel. Well, let me point out a few things about this. Okay, the first thing I want to point out is that it says until the fullness of the, well, let's actually look at the verse because I don't think he quoted it exactly right. So I want to go ahead and just have it in front of me to make sure that I get it right. But anyway, it says in verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And that's the operative phrase there, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay. When is that? Well, if you study scripture, if you look at Revelation chapter 11, you'll know that the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled basically at the end of the 7 years and at the beginning of the millennium. So when it says here, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that takes place at the beginning of the millennium. And then the next verse says, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Well, of course, all Israel is going to be saved, and the blindness upon Israel will be over at the beginning of the millennium, because that is when all of the saints are going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And that includes all of the saved Israelites of all time that are going to come up in that resurrection. Here's a key verse to explain this, okay? Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. This is the key. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration. Now, what's the regeneration? That's another word for the resurrection. He says, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So notice, in the regeneration, in the resurrection, the 12 apostles are going to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. But guess what? That is not the people that are in the Middle East right now, because those people over there in the Middle East right now that call themselves Israelis, they are not 12 tribes. None of them knows what tribe they are. Okay, they are Jews, but they are not the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and if we actually study scripture to get that timing, we know that's the millennium. You've got the resurrected saints in the regeneration living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. And part of that, obviously, are all the saved people from the 12 tribes of Israel from all time, from Reuben, Gad, Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, Issachar, tribes that don't exist today on this earth. But it's going to be all the people resurrected from those tribes. And the 12 apostles will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the whole rest of the world will also be ruled and reigned over by Christians. Christians will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. This is the millennial reign. I believe in that. Okay. So he keeps saying, you know, they say that God's done with Israel. First of all, number one, I don't say God's done with Israel because God's not done punishing them. Okay. They are done. The unbelieving, Christ-rejecting nation of Israel over there is not God's chosen people and never will be God's chosen people. They have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They are 99% not believing in Jesus Christ over there. And so they're not God's people. They're under a curse, just like every other unsaved person has God's wrath abiding on them. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that includes Jews. They don't get a free pass. If they don't believe on Jesus Christ, they're under God's wrath. Okay. Those Christ rejecting Jews over there in Israel in the end times are going to be punished. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to go through horrible things during the tribulation and during the period when God is pouring out his wrath. And no, they're not going to turn to Christ. Now, individuals will, of course, but we're not Calvinists that believe that God chooses who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. We believe that it's up to the free will of the individual to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and that whosoever will may come. And so this fiction that says, oh, in the end times, all the Jews are going to get saved. When Jesus comes back, they're all just going to get saved. That takes the free will out of salvation if they're just automatically getting saved. That is a false doctrine. No, the reason all Israel shall be saved is because unbelieving Israel is going to be completely wiped out. And once unbelieving Israel is totally wiped out, and then you have the resurrected, saved Israel, then at that point, all Israel shall be saved. They're all going to be saved because they're saved people. They're believers in Jesus Christ. Okay. So he frames this as God's done with Israel. And well, he's not done punishing them. He's not done hurting them. But he's definitely done with them as being his chosen people, because in the New Testament, all believers, all Christians, red, yellow, black, and white, are God's chosen people. The Bible's clear.
That the church has replaced Israel.
It has.
And Jesus is not coming back in the rapture.
Now, there he tells a bold-faced lie, claiming that I don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back in the rapture. That is nonsense. I have preached countless sermons about the rapture. I believe in the rapture. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back in the rapture. I made a whole documentary film called After the Tribulation that's all about the rapture, all about the timing of the rapture. And so that is a false accusation, because I do believe that Christ is coming back in the rapture. Everybody knows that.
And they are convincing lots of our types of churches, independent Baptist churches, to believe this. And it's a real thing out there. And yes, lots of them are being saved. Lots of people are being saved by watching these things on YouTube. But the man who heads it up, he's anti-Semitic.
So lots of people are being saved by watching these things on YouTube. But the man that heads it up is anti-Semitic. First of all, number one, I'm not anti-Semitic. Okay, that's a false accusation trying to make me out to be some kind of a racist or claiming that I hate Jews or something. I don't hate Jews. I've never hated Jews. I love Jews and want them to be saved for the millionth time. Okay, but to sit there and say, well, these videos are getting all these people saved, but you know, he's a bad guy. That's not what the Bible teaches, because the Bible says that every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. The corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And the Bible says the tree is known by their by his fruit. You know, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. So if Jesus tells us that the test of whether someone is a false prophet or not is to know them by their fruits, and then he admits repeatedly that my preaching has borne all this good fruit and that all of these people are getting saved watching these videos, then how can I be a corrupt tree if my preaching is bringing forth good fruit? This doesn't make any sense, because the tree is known by its fruit, because people are being saved through the word of God being preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's going on. And so this is a contradiction here to claim that the videos are getting a bunch of people saved, but that, you know, it's somehow bad.
He denies the Holocaust. That's why he was kicked out of England when he came to visit at the airport.
So again, he totally has his facts wrong. He falsely accuses me of being anti-Semitic, tries to put this label of Holocaust denier on me, which does not really accurately reflect what I believe. And then he just has his facts completely wrong when he claims that I was banned from countries for my anti-Semitic views. He claims that I was banned from England because of stuff that I said about the Jews. That is simply not true. In fact, when England banned me, they sent me official documentation that listed the things that I said that were unacceptable and why I was banned. One of them was me preaching against fornication. One of them was me preaching against Islam and calling Muhammad an illiterate false prophet. And two of them had to do with homosexuality. So there were a couple of things about the Sodomites, something about fornication, something about Islam. That's why I was banned. It wasn't about quote unquote anti-Semitism, which I'm not even anti-Semitic.
Because of some of the things he said against the Jewish people. And they think God is finished with Israel.
No, he's not finished pouring out his wrath on them and punishing them.
That's really the main thing that he teaches. God is finished with Israel. But God's not finished with Israel. All of his promises, as we saw even on Sunday mornings about the New Jerusalem and the millennial kingdom, when God turns back to the Jewish people, even before that, as they start to realize during the tribulation.
Okay, so he thinks that the New Jerusalem and the millennial kingdom, that these things are proof that God's not through with the nation of Israel. So he's looking at a physical nation over there in the Middle East in the year 2021 that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, 99% non-Christian. And he's looking at this unsaved, Christ-rejecting nation and claiming, well, God's not through with them because the millennium, because the New Jerusalem. Okay, well, let's see what the Bible actually says about this. If we go to Galatians chapter number 4, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So if we would actually look at Galatians chapter 4, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter, but just verses 25 and 26 make it crystal clear that there is a huge difference between Jerusalem that now is, which is in bondage with her children, which is represented by Hagar, and Jerusalem, which is from above, the heavenly Jerusalem. The Bible's crystal clear that the current Jerusalem is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. It's represented by Hagar. It's represented by Ishmael. But that Jerusalem from above is free. This is represented by Sarah. This is represented by Isaac. Okay, so he gets that exactly wrong by trying to claim that the New Jerusalem somehow has to do with this Christ-rejecting nation over there in the Middle East, or that the millennium has something to do with them. And look, again, read the entire chapter of Galatians 4, but listen to verse 30 especially. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The bondwoman is Hagar. The Bible said that the Jews of today, Jerusalem that now is, Galatians 4 clearly says that is Hagar. That is the bondwoman. Okay? And then Jerusalem from above, that's the free. That's Sarah. That's Isaac. The Bible says we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. And what does the Bible say? The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. These people believe that basically Ishmael and Isaac are both going to inherit. You know, we're both going to inherit the millennium. They think that the millennium is going to be a mix of Jews and Christians. That's what they think, right? Because he's saying, oh, God's not done with that nation over there in the Middle East, Israel, the current Christ-rejecting, unbelieving Israel. They're going to inherit with us in the millennium. They're going to be with us. No, they're not, because the children of the bondwoman will not inherit with the children of the free. It's not going to be Jews and Christians. It's going to be Christians and Christians. Okay. It's going to be, Israelites and Jews who've gotten saved and become Christians in the past. I mean, throughout history, many Jews have converted to Christ. Obviously, there are many Israelites in ancient Israel that believed on the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Millions and millions and millions of saved Israelites throughout history. Yeah, they're going to inherit because they're not of the bondwoman. They're of the free. But Jerusalem that now is Hagar. So to try to say that the new Jerusalem in the millennium proves that God's not through with these people who hate and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, it's nonsense, okay? They don't believe in Jesus Christ. And not only that, they're some of the most unreceptive people to the gospel on this entire planet.
Lies during the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, it's called. Those things are not to be allegorized away. Those things are really going to happen.
So he claims that during the tribulation, you know, they're all going to realize what they've done, and they're all going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not true, okay? Because they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And if they be not persuaded by Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's what the Bible says. The word of God is powerful, my friend. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But they say, oh, no, no, when they see Jesus coming in the clouds, they're all going to change their mind and get saved. Let me ask you this. What's more powerful, seeing Jesus coming in the clouds or the gospel as found in the word of God? The answer is the gospel as found in the word of God. And if this doesn't save you, nothing will. And the Bible says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And if they are hearing the gospel today and rejecting it, every time they hear it, seeing Christ come in the clouds is not going to change anything, because salvation is by faith, not by sight. We get saved by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what the Bible actually teaches. These people are teaching a false doctrine that says, oh, when they see stuff in the end times, they're going to get saved. Well, yeah, the Bible does say the Jews desire a sign, but there shall no sign be given unto them. And they need to hear the word of God, the gospel. That's how they're going to be saved. And then he claims, let me back up, because I kind of missed what he said here. Let's back up.
The Jewish people, even before that, as they start to realize during the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, it's called.
Okay, he claims that the tribulation period is called the time of Jacob's trouble. This is complete and utter nonsense. The term time of Jacob's trouble is used one time in the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. It has absolutely nothing to do with the tribulation in the end times. So they're just pulling this random verse out of context. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, which has nothing to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then they just say, oh, you know, well, of course we know the tribulation's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Well, if anybody actually took the trouble to look that up, they'd see that there's absolutely no evidence of that.
Those things are not to be allegorized away. Those things are really going to happen.
Those things are not to be allegorized away. They're really going to happen. Well, again, I'm already in Galatians chapter 4. How about verse 24? Which things are an allegory which things are an allegory. Well, don't allegorize it. Well, it sounds like the Apostle Paul is doing a little allegorizing. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. With that being said, I do believe that there is a literal fulfillment of everything that he believes is going to be literally fulfilled. I just believe it's going to play out the way the Bible says, not in the fairy tale version where all the Christ rejecting Jews magically get saved, even though the word of God had no effect on them, even though soul winning had no effect on them, even though the gospel had no effect on them, just the end times is going to magically get them all saved. That is a false doctrine.
So just, you have to have some discernment, don't you, when you watch things on YouTube. And yes, they're preaching the gospel, and the pastor can even quote the whole New Testament.
That is, of course, an exaggeration. The most that I memorized of the New Testament is a little bit more than half of the New Testament. So at one point, I could quote a little bit more than half of the New Testament verbatim. So I have never been able to quote the entire New Testament. That was an exaggeration. How dare he?
But, you know, the Pharisees, they could quote the whole first five books of the Bible, but that didn't mean that they had a monopoly on truth, did it? And,
I don't remember reading that in the Bible. I don't remember reading anywhere in the Bible that the Pharisees could quote the entire first five books of the Old Testament. I remember Jesus rebuking them for not reading and for not knowing the scripture. So, you know, I am not convinced that they had that memorized. I don't know where he's getting that, because that's not found in the Bible at all.
You know, so we have to be careful not to.
Yeah, we have to be careful not to believe random stuff that you say and provide no evidence for, like that the Pharisees could quote Genesis through Deuteronomy word perfect.
Get sucked in by some of these things. So, but Israel, they do have a future, and God's even working in the present.
They do have a future of getting their butts handed to them during the tribulation.
Been working in the present to redeem them and to restore them. We see from 1948 they've become as a nation.
So he says God's working in the present to redeem them, to restore them. That, you know what? That's a funny way of working, because they've been over there since 1948, and over time, if you look at the statistics and the demographics, the number of Christians in Israel has consistently gone down. Okay, and the number of people in Israel that are actually saved is very, very low. And, you know, look at a city like Bethlehem or something, for example. There are way less Christians there now than there were, say, 20 years ago. That's, of course, in West Bank, Palestine, or in the state of Israel itself. Places like Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Beersheba, Haifa, Yafo. You know what? The number of Christians is not increasing. People aren't getting saved over there by the droves. I'm sure that there are individuals being saved. And hey, anybody who's soul winning in Israel, God bless them. And I hope they get as many Israelis saved as they possibly can. You know, I would love to see as many Israelis get saved as possible. But there's the reality. There's very few getting saved. And this is a fiction. They've been talking about this for decades, and it's a lie. Where they just talk about, oh, there's revival in Israel, multitudes are being saved. It's a complete fantasy. It's not happening. And even when you do hear about these messianic Jews, and I'm not saying that it's not out there, but I personally have never met a messianic Jew who was actually saved. Every single messianic Jew that I've ever met was trusting in works for salvation. They weren't even close to believing in salvation by faith alone. They were not even close to a sola fide type doctrine. They were just all trusting in their works. That's not salvation.
But as Ezekiel said, they're going to stand on their feet. These dry bones are going to stand on their feet, but there'll be no life, no spiritual life in them. And then God will breathe life into them. So it's a two-stage process.
So again, he basically is taking a Calvinistic view of salvation, where basically they stand on their feet and they become a nation. God brings them back in 1948. They keep rejecting and blaspheming Christ for like 70 plus years. And then all of a sudden, God's just going to breathe life into them. Like God's, you know, the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why doesn't he just breathe life into them right now? Why did he let a whole generation of them go to hell? Two generations go to hell. Because God does not just make people get saved. It's whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's whosoever believeth on him. If they don't choose to get saved, if they don't desire to get saved, if they don't come to Christ of their own free will, if they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to be saved. And God doesn't just snap his fingers and make people get saved. Otherwise, why didn't he just snap his fingers and save the entire world? And I am not a Calvinist. I do not believe that God just picks and chooses certain people to go to heaven based on just his caprice, based on nothing. No, I believe that people have the choice whether to be saved or not. And he says, oh, it's already happening. The evidence shows that it's not happening, number one. And number two, his scripture that he's pointing to, Ezekiel 37, is way out of context. The Valley of the Dry Bones is talking about the children of Israel coming back into the promised land, returning from the Babylonian captivity. See, he's forgetting that the book of Ezekiel was written during the Babylonian captivity. And they're saying, oh, these dry bones, can they ever live again? You know, our nation's dead. And God's saying, no, I'm going to resurrect your nation. That already happened. Okay? The Babylonian captivity ended and the nation of Israel was resurrected. That took place. It was fulfilled literally about 2,500 years ago. So you can't just grab something from Ezekiel and claim that it's still coming in the future. Okay? We need to make the New Testament our primary study for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, there's a lot in the Old Testament that's relevant. But you need to first make sure that you understand and believe and comprehend what's in the New Testament. Okay? And if you did that, you wouldn't come up with these squirrely doctrines of taking Ezekiel 37 out of context, claiming that God's going to bring them into the land in unbelief and then breathe life into them. It's not even the same people, because the people who came there in 1948, how many of them are even still alive? Think about how long ago that was. How long is the old IFP just going to keep saying this? I mean, are they going to be saying this like 30 years from now or something? I mean, stop and think about it. It's already been like 70 some years. That whole generation is pretty much dead. See, God brought them into the land in unbelief and then they get saved. No, they didn't. They died and went to hell. That generation who God supposedly brought back in 1948, they all died and went to hell. So, I mean, except for the very, very, very few who believed on Jesus. So this doesn't hold water.
This Ezekiel 37 says, first they'll stand on their feet, then God will breathe life into them and they'll realize and they'll turn back to the Lord in the future. So they're a nation again, but they don't. They still have that blindness in part, don't they, that Romans 11 talks about. So this is all about Israel, these three chapters, and I hope that I'll explain what I'm talking about a bit more next week.
So the three chapters he's talking about are Romans 9, 10, and 11, and they are three great chapters, and you got to read the whole thing to get the picture. And in Romans chapter 9, it makes it clear, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Boy, Romans chapter 9 is like a tour de force in proving that today's Jews are not God's chosen people. If you actually read Romans 9, it makes it crystal clear. It's so clear that even a theologian should be able to understand it. Okay, and then the same thing is continued through chapters 10 and 11. So,
but the important thing is God can, he has a plan. God can.
Well, that was a great poem. You know, God can, he has a plan. Anyway, that's the end of this clip. The person who sent it to me cut it off right there. So God bless you. Have a great day.